Quantum Squares offer scientifically formulated energy bars with 100 milligrams of organic caffeine for long-lasting, stable energy. Every delicious bar provides balanced nutrition with 10 grams of plant-based protein, healthy fats, and complex carbs. Use our promo code DANDZ, and you can use that at quantumsquares.com.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio. What a working mic this time.
Hey, you.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We got a great show for you tonight.
Yeah,
Jason Tatum returns. WBC is getting fired up. And it sounds like the Dolphins got their quarterback. We begin today's show with, man, there's just a flurry of free agent signings overshadowing everything going on in basketball, overshadowing everything going on with the WBC. So we have Alec Pierce going back to Indy. We got Mike Evans going to 49ers. We got KW3 going to Kansas City Chiefs. And a whole bunch of other signings happened. So, Z, what was the best move made so far?
I mean, there's so much going on right there. There's so much movement. You could talk about, you know,
I do like Wandale Robinson to the Titans. I think he's a stud.
We will talk about that.
Oh, okay.
We will absolutely talk about that because the Titans are bringing a lot of ex-Giants. They brought in Flott, they brought in Bellinger, and they brought in...
Wait, isn't Daboll there?
And I think they also brought in some Jets. Oh, who's the head coach there?
Sala.
So I don't know. Either they're going to unlock something great.
Titans.
That's right. Hey, you know, maybe
the
they
Tennessee
can sue the Jets.
That's
it. They can sue the Jets and they can get those retro throwback unis. But yeah, either they're going to look amazing and he's going to look a genius again, or the same guys who ran him out of New York are going to run him into the ground in Tennessee. So that's where you are if you're Brian Daboll.
I don't know what happened, but when I was at the gym 2 days ago, they were playing like Wandale Robinson highlights. Like, I don't know what, and I didn't realize he caught so many passes last year from everybody. He caught him from Dart. He caught him from Russell. He caught him from Winston. And he's catching deep passes, out passes. He was like their best receiver last year after Neighbors went down.
He was.
He's totally capable.
He is his main target. His main attribute is his speed and his elusiveness because of his size. Like, that is working in his favor. And, you know, Cam Ward's getting a hell of a target. Now, we're going to find out if Cam Ward's the goods this year. Mike Evans to the Niners is weird because Mike Evans hasn't had the best injury history in the past couple of years, and you're sending him to a place where Kyle Shanahan sends people to the infirmary on a regular basis. His offense is not designed for health. We'll just put it that way.
It's a damn power plant.
You know, all the EMPs going in and wrecking the joints. I don't like the Pierce signing from the standpoint of who's his quarterback. That's fine. Yeah. You paid $100 million for a wideout, but who's delivering him the ball? Anthony Richardson requested a trade, right? Daniel Jones still isn't signed, and he's not going to be healthy.
What does he want? He wants like $50 million, right?
Yeah. Like, they're fighting. They're quibbling over money. And then who's left? Riley Leonard? Is that the guy who's going to be your starting QB?
Yeah.
Are you
going to
go
Danny
get Flacco?
Danny Dimes wants $50 million a year.
Yeah. Fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Fuck off.
No. Fuck you. Are you kidding me? Jesus Christ. You have the Giants going to the Titans. All the Ravens go, most of the Ravens outside of the center, going to the fucking Giants. I could have called that one. Between Ricard, Likely. Okay. I see what we're doing here. We're really leaning into making Jackson Dart Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson Dart. I see what you did there. Okay. Awesome. Absolutely fantastic.
NTN went to the Saints.
NTN, which means Kamara's on the trade block. Very interesting.
Pacheco went to the Lions.
Pacheco's going to back up Gibbs. I like that move. I like the Pittman trade. I like the Pittman trade to the Steelers. You know, I like Rico Dowdle to the Steelers. I have questions about the quarterback. We'll talk about that later. But I like those two complementary moves because Jalen Warren and Rico Dowdle, that's a good combination, right? The best move for me is Kansas City adding a Super Bowl MVP. Like, I mean, it seems like a no-brainer. It seems like a trite answer. But, yeah, he only rushed for 1,025 yards. He hit pay dirt 5 times, right? Now, is Mahomes healthy for week 1? He's saying yes, right? He's pushing his body. So I'm not in the business of doubting Patrick Mahomes. However, like, my man, no, like, your leg exploded. Take it easy. Pump the brakes. They lost Gardner Minshew to the Cardinals. So I don't know who their backup is going to be.
They could bring Carson Wentz back. They had Carson Wentz.
They could get Wentz back, 100%. Yeah, so as far as like the biggest impact of those moves, man, I gotta say Kenneth Walker. Like, you don't get the opportunity to add a bell cow back like that very often. And, you know, that team still is, you know, it's still capable. Yeah, they lost Chenault. They're bringing back Kelsey.
Who goes to the Commanders.
Yeah.
Which is huge. I'm a big Chenault fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big Chenault fan.
That's big for them. The Cowboys got Rashawn Gary from the Packers. So the NFC East is, they are, you know, they're reloading. Reek Woolen is going to the Eagles.
Right.
So there's an arms race happening in the NFC East right now. And that's going to make for a very interesting division to watch. The past few years, we've been, you know, relegated to the Giants being dead-ass last in a hard watch. Now, all of a sudden, they have juice, right? Mm-hmm. They have players. The Commanders, if they can keep Jaden Daniels healthy, they have players. The Cowboys were very surprising in the first year under Shoddy, right? They're adding guys, right? Mm-hmm. They have a full year of Quinnen Williams now. They're going to have Rashawn Gary. That defensive line looks good. And then the Eagles are the Eagles are the Eagles. So I'm very intrigued by all of these moves. And there's lots of teams that made head scratchers, but so far there's been some pretty smart ones. There's been some pretty smart moves here.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm with you. To me, the first one that jumps out is KW3. I mean,
yeah.
I do like everything Kansas City's kind of doing. I mean, they traded Duffy, right? They got a slew of picks from the Rams, right? And now you go and get your running back. The only thing with Kenneth Walker III is he really doesn't catch the ball in the backfield. And I feel like that offense kind of needs that kind of, you know, they had a lot of success when they had Damian Williams catching the ball out of the backfield.
I just thought of something before you. Alvin Kamara. Pair them together.
I don't think they want to pay people, though. You know, no one's in the business of paying anybody. I mean,
their receivers can't catch them. So yeah. Their receivers can't receive.
They can't. They're terrible.
It's you know, it would be a crazy, far-fetched idea, but crazier things have happened. And you could actually line them up both in the backfield, and you could totally confuse the shit out of people.
Second thing I would say that I really liked was Mike Evans going to 49ers. I agree with you, though. I mean, he does get hurt, but when was the last time they had, like, a true, like, wide receiver? Like, number one wide receiver. And that's what Mike Evans really is, right? Like, they had Deebo Samuel, but let's face it. That guy's like a Swiss Army knife. They were lining him up in the backfield, and he was hurt all the time.
Yeah.
Mike Evans is a solid one, and I think you can get 12 to 13 games out of him, even if you're a 49er. And then the third one I'm going to say that I like a lot is what the Dallas Cowboys are doing. They're building a decent defense. That Rashawn Gary is a pretty solid move. I mean, that was a trade that wasn't really a signing, but I think it's a really solid move. I mean, I like what a lot of people are doing here in regards to signing players. I think some of these people have done their homework. Don't really understand what the Falcons are doing. What? So the minute Tua is available, pick it up, call him. Yep. Let's get him in here. It's like, what? Are you serious? Are you pranking me?
They're collecting lefty quarterbacks.
But then you're going to cut Kirk Cousins, and you still have Michael Penix Jr., who's, I believe, is recovering from an ACL injury. So, I mean, who's really playing quarterback here? Yeah, you're right. It's just a bunch of lefties. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It just seems very odd that this is the route that they've decided to go.
The internet remains undefeated. They said one guy's recovering for the one guy has two bad knees, and the other one's a concussion away from meeting Jesus. So, damn, that is evisceration, absolute evisceration. But it really underscores what Terry Fontenot did and how he screwed this team up, and how, you know, Raheem Morris couldn't coach his way out of it. But what do you think about the Patriots did? They brought in Romeo Doubs to replace Stephon Diggs, and they also shored up the offensive line with Elijah Vera Tucker. I mean,
Elijah Vera Tucker is a bum. You know, he's a fucking bum, and he gets hurt all the time. So Doubs is 5 years younger than Diggs. He comes from a place that sophisticated offense to throw the ball very well. He's a good player. I think it's fine, but to me, I guess this means that the Patriots are going to address their offensive line problems in the draft, because that's where they really need help, unless they really believe in those rookies and they're going to stick with them. But that's really how they got exploited in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, the left side of their line. You're hoping that it's a year of seasoning. And Will Campbell was playing through a knee injury. He did come back off of IR. He was on IR, so it's not like, you know, it's not like nobody knew about this. So, all right, I'm willing to give old short arms the benefit of the doubt. You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pink J Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pink J Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org. But a player that we were talking about that was at the top of our boards was Malik Willis. Malik Willis, you know, he is officially a Miami Dolphin. So they cut Hill. They let Alec Ingold go to free agency. We're going to talk about it in a little bit. They're trading Minka Fitzpatrick. So it looks like they're in division to the Jets. Yeah. They seem to be in this, like, a semi teardown and rebuild under these guys from Green Bay. Like, what can we expect from Willis and what can we expect from Miami next year?
I'm just kind of confused in what they're doing. Like, I thought they were in rebuild mode, right? I thought this was like a whole teardown. And we're going to rebuild. We're going to rebuild through the draft. But you're not going to rebuild through the draft by giving Malik Willis $67.5 million when he's never been a full-time. This guy couldn't even beat out fucking a bum in Tennessee. Will Levis, who took last season off because he was like, hey, good luck. I mean, listen, he played for Green Bay, and he has a good downfield deep ball. He does throw that pretty well, but I just think it's extremely risky. This doesn't scream to me that you're rebuilding. This screams to me like, oh, we're going to try to win some football games. That's cool if that's what you want to do, but I think – now, Z, tell me if you feel like I'm wrong with this. I thought Kyler Murray would have been a better deal to go to Miami, right?
It's an interesting idea. I mean, they have With Kyler Murray, you have the mobility factor.
If he wants to play football, and he's not going to go play baseball. But
rumor has it he's going to go to the Vikings, but he's willing to be patient. I mean, the A's own his rights, so I don't know. Like, they might make him go. They might make him report to like Double A. I don't know if he's willing to go to Chattanooga. So, you know,
I don't know what he has left to prove. I don't know what he wants to do. I mean, he's gotten paid. I mean, do you really want to just keep playing football, or you can go play baseball and have a decent, you know, little career?
Fair.
There's low expectations, and you have to play every day, but right. it's not a beating on your body. I mean, you're a tiny guy. Like, he's a tiny guy. I just thought, like, if you're gonna go spend this kind of money, go get Kyler Murray. Like, why not? Like, what's the downside to that, right?
I mean, he's as unproven as Malik Willis. Because what has Kyler Murray really done?
Kyler's unproven?
Just as unproven. Like, what has he really done in this league? Let's think about that for a second. We've been talking about Arizona as a team of potential for years.
Mm.
And they can't deliver on shit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They deliver on being in last place. You have Kyler Murray's an underachiever. Marvin Harrison Jr. is playing his way into bust territory. Right?
Uh-huh.
Like, what are we talking about here? Like, you know, a team would rather have Tua than have Kyler Murray. The Pittsburgh Steelers are thinking about signing Kirk motherfucking Cousins.
I hope that happens.
Over Kyler Murray. Right?
Mike, what the fuck?
What are we doing here? Like, what are we talking about?
It seems like it's
here?
The same scenario that Mike was dealing with before, right? When he was in Green Bay. And he went with Aaron Rodgers. Like,
son of a bitch.
This is just coming full circle. Some bitch.
You have an offensive line that's not great, and then you have a guy who can't see over said offensive line. That's going to be a problem. But if you look at Malik Willis, he only threw for 422 yards last year. He had an 85.7% completion percentage. So that's amazing. But, you know, a small sample size. He only played in four games. Like, this is a Matt Flynn-esque gamble.
Right.
You have to throw it in there.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say is I don't think Kyler Murray is Matt Flynn.
No, right? No. But with the injury history, he's a different kind of gamble.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like the little guy's got a lot to prove, right?
He does. He does. But who is going to – I mean
– You're talking about Malik Willis. Malik Willis is getting – he's getting $67 million.
45 guaranteed.
To play for $45 million guaranteed, and he's only thrown six touchdowns and three interceptions in his career.
Yeah.
And he's only played in 22 games. Last season, he had 35 dropbacks. And the season before, he had 54 dropbacks. But how many of those dropbacks were, like, designed runs or short passes?
Right.
This is what I'm trying to say. Like, I don't... But this is because they have the Miami, the Green Bay guys there, right? The GM and the coach are from Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going Fegley with somebody.
Halfley and Sullivan, rather. Halfley and Sullivan.
But you have a season where, like, next year is the quarterback draft, right? So, I mean, I don't know. Let me look at Kyler really quick.
Murray is linked to the Vikings. I would have actually preferred Malik Willis go to the Vikings. I mean, we've said that before. Like, we said Miami would be a possibility, but I really liked him for Minnesota beating out J.J. McCarthy. And I think that him to Justin Jefferson would actually be something special. Now, I mean, Jalen Waddle is good. Jalen Waddle is a very good receiver. But if you really want to take advantage of Malik Willis's deep ball ability, is that Jalen Waddle? Like, no, that was more Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyreek Hill has a, you know, rebuilt leg. And you caught him. So, you know, I don't know if, you know, unless they're planning something big and maybe the Eagle gets Stephon Diggs.
1, 2, 3, 4. So Tyler has 4 years where he threw for over 3,500 yards. That's pretty impressive.
Touchdown and picks?
What?
What were his touchdown to picks?
For which those years where you threw over 30, 20-12, 26-12, 24-10.
Oh, that's not bad.
21-11.
All right, so that's not bad.
He's not. His QBR, his average looks like it's around 60. It's not bad.
It's not
bad. I don't think
bad.
I just think, like, if I'm the Dolphins, right, I could get Kyler and be competitive, right? I want to lose. Just want to be competitive, right? Because the one thing I do know about Kyler is he can do a lot with nothing, right? He can run. He can run. And you still got Waddle there. I think him and Waddle could be a decent connection.
I think that fits better. Right. I think Murray and Waddle fit better.
And I just think, like, if he got hurt or if it doesn't work out, I'm still going to, you know, I'm still getting a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
The Malik Willis thing is, it's like, why am I going to pay this guy? Like, what do I care? Like, who am I trying to beat to this? Who am I trying to beat to the bowl for Malik Willis? Am I the first team that called him? Did I give him the best offer? Like, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, who's calling him? Who's right. trying to get him in the building? Right? I don't know. It just seems kind of weird to me. I don't know.
I mean, the market, if you really think about it, the market, Minnesota. You're looking at Miami because we didn't know. I mean, we knew Tua was gone. We knew Tua was gone, but it was a long shot until they hired both Hafley and Sullivan from Green Bay.
And that's another team that I would think that would be in on Kyler Murray would be the Falcons, right? I mean,
yeah,
that seems like indoors. Okay, we have a tight end. Right, we have a wide receiver. We have an outstanding. Like, imagine pairing him with Bijan Robinson. Like, we could be one of the fastest teams in the National Football League.
Yeah,
but you've decided to go with Tua.
What? Honestly, like Kyler Murray could even.
He's
I could
only
even
28 years old.
Yeah, but my thing is this: I can. You're talking about fast, right? A team like Carolina, you know. Maybe they're not sold on Bryce Young.
I think
Bryce they're moving on from Andy Dalton.
I think Bryce Young is going in the right direction. I think he's okay.
He's solid. He's okay. But I don't know if they're as... I mean, they finally made the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, but you know, they did not have a good showing. Mm. So, I don't know. You kind of feel... Like, Kyler Murray has options. So, him waiting, I think I'm okay with that. Malik Willis... I mean, I'm not turning down $45 million. But if you're if you really boil down to it, $45 million guaranteed. Even if I suck, I got $45 million guaranteed.
Mm.
Like that's nothing to sneeze at, man. And I mean, where else? I mean, you're gonna go to the Jets? No,
COVID.
No, lupus. You're not doing it. Like they couldn't pay me. It's gotta be your bowl. That's it. Like that's
it's Shark Tank thing you said is excellent.
It's amazing. They don't make high art like that anymore. The Shark Tank Tommy Boy hybrid, a little mashup. It's amazing. Fucking A.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
So along with the signings, there was also trades, right? So we had the Bills traded for DJ Moore, the Jets traded for Micah Fitzpatrick, and we just found this out, but the Ravens traded for Max Crosby. They sent two ones to the Raiders, and that... trade has been taken off the table because Max Crosby failed his physical.
Oops.
So, I mean, what do you think about the Bills and the Jets, and then where do the Ravens go from here, and where do the Raiders go from here?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I think you kind of can't... If he's failing his physical, you can't expect the two number one haul again. So I think the Cowboys are back in play.
Right, because they now offered a one and a two.
Yeah.
Which if I was them, now it's become a one. Well, no, now you're not getting the one and the two.
Yeah.
You lost that. You can get a one and a five or a one and a four. You're giving me a damaged player. I don't even know if he's going to be able to play. Failed his fucking physical? Come on.
Yeah, I mean.
Who's going to give two ones? No one's giving two ones.
No one's giving two ones. But I think.
I didn't even think he was worth two ones. Listen, I'm a Ravens fan. And I think you told me when this happened. And when it happened, I was like, okay, it's, you know, going against Burrow and going against other guys and, Rodgers, I guess. And I was like, all right, I mean, it's kind of cool. But then I was like, well, wait a minute. Why would we give up two ones? You're telling me that in this draft, this upcoming draft, in the first round, there isn't a guy who has Max Crosby potential? You're telling me that in next year's draft, there isn't a guy, like let's say we had a mediocre year or we were a shit team next year.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me there's not a guy that we couldn't get in the top 10? Where's the Ravens fucking scouting department? Like, we're supposed to be the teams that find these diamonds in the roughs. We're supposed to be the ones that find these overlooked players, these overlooked linebackers, these overlooked defensive ends. You thought so highly of Max Crosby that we're willing to give two number ones for him right now? I just thought that was really odd. And maybe they knew maybe they knew Dallas was in on it and they really wanted to get it from Dallas.
They got their hand forced. Like, that's what it feels like, that they got their hand forced a little bit because Dallas has been hot and heavy on him. Now, Dallas may revisit that because now you'd have Quinnen Williams, Rashawn Gary, and Max Crosby. Like,
I'd rather you go give two number ones to the Eagles and bring AJ Brown over here.
That's to the Ravens. That's fair. They need a wide receiver.
But that's something you said you wouldn't do. Yeah. You say you wouldn't do ones.
I wouldn't do it because
the Eagles are looking for top dollar for AJ Brown. They're not going to take, pennies on the dollar, five and a six.
He's a headache who drops the ball at key times. That's not a one.
He's a Super Bowl champion. And
headache who drops the ball at the worst possible
moment. But look at what DJ Moore just got.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
I don't understand that trade either. So it's like we went from not having a wide receiver to having a wide receiver to not having a wide receiver to now having a wide receiver again. When are we going to learn that it has nothing to do with the wide receiver position for Josh Allen? And who do you think the Buffalo Bills are going to take a step forward this year? You're bugging.
No.
You're bugging. And DJ Moore is a good wide receiver. He's a good player, but that's not where the problem lies with this team. It lies with Josh Allen, who now is probably going to start getting hurt. I assume at some point, this is professional football. He's going to start getting hurt. And then what? Like, and they're keeping Dawson Knox, which I thought was... I didn't think it was a miss. Not Dawson Knox. Is it? Yeah, I think they extended Knox.
Yeah, Dawson Knox.
They extended him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But isn't Kincaid supposed to be his replacement? Like, why
they're
are
running a two? They're okay running a two back tight end set.
Why are we paying two tight ends this kind of money? Like, why wouldn't you go get Isaiah Likely, who just got signed by the Giants?
Yeah. So I mean, they're
get Chris Manhertz, who's going back to the Giants now too. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Chris Manhertz is a different skill set, but he's more of a blocking tight end. So the problem is that they're redundant positions. They're both pass catching tight ends.
We're not winning. Like,
no.
We're running this back. We're not. I don't know. Just seems silly to me. I don't get it. And the Jets, like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you're not going to believe this. The Jets are on the phone. They want to trade us for Mika Fitzpatrick. Oh, yeah. What else do we got? I don't know. Let's give them whatever they want. Like, when a team is willing to trade you a player in division, that should be a red fucking flag. Like,
yeah.
You should be like, eh, I don't know about this. Unless you're going to flip him. So my whole thing is, I think they're going to flip him. They're keeping him until the trade deadline, and they think they're going to find a team that will give them more draft capital, right? They traded, I think, a seventh for him.
Yeah.
So if you're under the assumption that I'm going to take him, he ain't going to play hard. And then when time comes for trades, you're going to trade him like you should have traded Breece Hall.
Right. Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com. And then, I mean, let's talk about the other trade that happened today with the Jets. They apparently have their quarterback. Geno Smith is back. So Geno, who cut his teeth after Mark Sanchez got injured in the Snoopy Bowl, right? He's back, acquired along with a 7th round pick from the Raiders for a 6th round pick.
did they understand that at 4 o'clock today, Geno Smith was going to be cut by the Raiders? They know that. Did they not know that? He's gonna we're releasing him. Wait a minute, we'll trade you for him. Did you hear what I said? We're releasing him. I'll trade you two draft picks for him. Oh, just give us one, I guess. Again, the
Jets are on the board. They want Geno back.
What I have this man drug tested immediately.
So here's the deal. So Geno was drafted in 2013. He was there for 4 years. There's only one other quarterback who has more wins for the New York Jets in that time. And yeah, so he has 12. He went 12-18 as a Jets quarterback. And there's another Jet who has more wins than him. But he left, became a backup for many, many years. Then, all of a sudden, won comeback of player of the year. Made 2 Pro Bowls. Looked great. Got Pete Carroll fired. Went to fucking Vegas. Got Pete Carroll fired again. Lost his starting job. Now you want him back? Like, what are we doing? Like, here's my thing. It's like, you don't want to win. Very clear. Very clear. You don't want to win. I know. I know you don't want to win. But if I don't want to win, why would I trade for a quarterback? Does that seem silly? A Kirk Cousins? Or why would I just go sign somebody? Like, why would you go and trade for inept player?
Because he's the guy that just delivered Fernando Mendoza to the Raiders. So what they're saying is he's the kiss of death. Oh. Like, that's the hope. He's going to suck so bad that they're going to secure the number one pick.
But is that a good thing?
No.
I don't think that's a good
thing. Arch Manning will stay in school.
You had the kid from Oregon say, I'm going back. The Jets called me yesterday. I'm going back.
Surprise, motherfucker. Now you're number one.
You are not going to escape us now. I don't think having the first pick is the best thing for this team. You know, and then they go and they sign DeMario Davis. And I hope I'm wrong here, but I'm pretty sure they drafted that guy once upon a time too.
Yes, he's a former Jet. Yes.
He is, right?
He's now a current Jet.
He had great years in New Orleans. Why not get Leo Chenal, the linebacker from the Kansas City Chiefs, who's a Super Bowl champion?
Why not keep Quincy Williams? You had him in the building. He's gone.
To the Browns. He's like, I'd rather go play in Cleveland than fucking be here.
Jesus.
I'll find a 2-year contract in Cleveland. I'll eat shit in Cleveland and do this. I'm not doing this again. How wild is that? This man was like, I will play in Alaska before I come back here again.
It's just the rumor has it that
the only reason why they traded for Geno is because that was the only way they were going to get him. Because if he became a free agent, he wouldn't have signed there. And this is the guy you traded for? Are you going to go get Zach Wilson again? Are you going to go get Mekhi Becton? Like, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Who goes along with this and says this is a fine plan? I support it 100%. Like, what? Huh? What?
And Garrett Wilson, you got your money. Breece Hall, you want your money. It's funny. You know, he came out and said, oh, we got all this money for free agents. It's awesome. It's like, how do you walk in there and how do you walk into one Jets drive and be like, okay, this is cool. How are you not like, get me the fuck out of here.
I don't know.
Get me out of here now.
I don't know. We just talked to, you know, Coach Jim Herman about it. I don't quite understand the mentality here. What are you trying to win? Are you trying to lose? What are we trying to do?
Yeah.
Like, why would you bring back this guy after all these years? He's not Vinny Testaverde, man.
No.
Like, can we all admit that this was a bad decision to begin with? Like,
I'm confused by it. It's just confusing. And
You would agree to go like the Kirk Cousins route, right?
Yeah.
Then there were rumors that they were going to get Carson Wentz. It's like, what? Didn't he hurt his shoulder?
Yeah.
Can't throw.
my man was an MVP until he jacked up his back.
He can't throw.
No.
Why not go get Kenny Pickett? Where's Kenny Pickett?
Kenny Pickett is now backing up, I believe, in Carolina. I think they signed him to back up Bryce Young.
That to me would make more sense.
That's a freaking guy. Smith. Now there's a guy.
Pull Kirk Cousins and see what he had to say? Like, was that an option? Was that available? Because he might go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he may go to Pittsburgh now. I think that would probably be the best move for him.
What makes sense for him? What makes sense for him is to go back to Minnesota.
Well, yeah, like that would make the most sense, but
I wonder if then if the Steelers would go with Kyler Murray.
I mean, I don't know if Minnesota would bring him back unless it was on a low ball contract.
Yeah, he definitely getting low ball. He ain't getting what he's getting.
But you know, he's the king of the bag, man. So I really don't know if he would be willing to do that.
Is Davis Mills available?
It's a good question.
That's another guy that the Jets, you want to play? You'll play every day.
Right. And apparently the price tag on Mac Jones is super high right now because of what he was able to do last year. So, like, that's off the table. So, I don't know, man. I think the plan is to ride it out with Geno, because I mean, what's the alternative? Like, because you still have Justin Fields, right? You didn't cut him yet.
Oh, Davis Mills is not a free agent,
but they could trade for him.
Yeah, they could. They could trade for Mac Jones too.
Yeah, but you know, it's gonna be probably cheaper. You know what? I think it would probably be the same price because you can't really trust CJ Stroud at this point, and Davis Mills is probably gonna play because Stroud didn't have the cleanest of seasons last year in terms of health and performance.
Damn, Davis Mills made $8 million? Damn, he's a backup.
Yeah, no.
Backup is getting that much money. Tommy Cutlett's getting $10 million, $7 million guaranteed to be a backup.
We're in the wrong industry, my friend. We're in the wrong business. We are in the wrong business. I can hold a clipboard, goddammit. Like, I can get people coffee. Like, I can have my mom make chicken cutlets for everybody.
It doesn't make sense for New Orleans to bring in Kyler Murray, right?
No, they believe in Shook. But, I mean, if they need a backup, sure. But I think he wants to start. Mm-hmm. I think Kyler Murray envisions himself as a starter in this league.
Would Kirk Cousins go to the Titans?
And back up Cam Ward or compete with him for the job?
Back him up. You're a backup at this point, man. You ain't starting. There's nobody going to start you.
He can beat out J.J. McCarthy if they re-sign him. He's going to be that.
Where's Jimmy G? Did Jimmy G go to the desert?
He's still with the Rams, no? I'm pretty sure Jimmy G's still with the Rams.
Jimmy Garoppolo, you bastard.
Fucking hell, man. That dude just won't go away. Like, that's amazing.
No, he's a free agent.
Oh, he is a free agent.
Yeah.
I mean, Kirk Cousins is younger than Matthew Stafford.
So that's another one. So that's a good idea.
There's that. And if Stafford retired, like, boom. You don't miss a beat with Kirk Cousins. It's a pretty decent idea.
He's an unrestricted free agent, Jimmy G.
Okay. Like, that's another guy, though. Like, just...
Sounds like the Cardinals... the Cardinals tried to get him, but they couldn't agree on a deal.
Interesting. Well, I'm sure, you know, like, because is Brissett... Is he on a... Or is he a free agent, too? Because I know they locked up...
He's their guy right now.
So Brissett and Minshew, like, that's their quarterback room.
Sounds like it. So that's probably why they couldn't sign Jimmy G. That's probably why they went and got Minshew. And
all right, that's fair. Brissett and Minshew. You know what? We talked about it before. Have the fucking Chiefs sign Jimmy G. Jimmy G can play. Like, he's not great.
I could see Kirk Cousins going to the Chiefs if Pat can't start the season.
If he can't go, that would be very interesting.
Yeah, right.
It would be very interesting. You could do that. Yeah. But, I mean, I keep harping on the DJ Moore thing. And, you know, it's like, what are the Bears doing? You traded away your alleged, you know, number one receiver. He was ahead of Odunze on the depth chart.
Odunze, there were games where Odunze had no catches.
Yeah. So, what the hell? They lost their center. They traded for Garrett Bradbury because their center retired. What is going on in Chicago? this, buckle up, guys, because we are in for a very interesting ride here.
I'm retiring from what? Football? Are you kidding me right now? Are
you even 30?
You've only been playing 3 years.
What are you doing?
She's like, oh, hell, not right now, man.
It's like, you son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch. You had one job, and you're failing miserably at it.
Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com.
Well, the World Baseball Classic is going strong, and the teams that you expect to be at the top are very much at the top. Japan's bludgeoning people. The U.S. is squeaking by against the likes of Great Britain and Mexico and Brazil.
Brazil. Didn't Czechia got like relegated?
Czechia got eliminated already, yeah. Canada is pissing off lots of people. And, you know, Israel is currently ahead of the Netherlands. So,
whoopity-doo.
It goes to show you that this is a very unpredictable tournament at the bottom level. And then at the top level, there are levels to this. There are just absolute levels to this. So has anything surprised you so far? And who are you planning on? Who are you banking on to take it all?
Yeah, I'm banking on Japan.
Still?
You know who I am surprised at, though? I am super impressed with Roman Anthony.
Hmm.
He's legit. He looks legit, and we're doing our AL East order up next week, but Boston rose for me because of him. And I looked at that guy and I was like, holy shit, like, you're a legit player. Like, you can really hang with these guys. Like, you could be the leader of the Boston Celtics. You are really one of the best players in baseball. So that's one of the things. Sounds like, you know, I liked how Schoolbull stuck around. Skeens is just ridiculous. Even against Mexico. I mean, Mexico, there's no slouches on that team. Like, they're a really good team.
Yeah.
We put a good team out there this year. I mean, they're studded. I mean, Bobby Witt Jr., Aaron Judge, P. Crow Armstrong. I mean, all these guys are just unbelievable. Unbelievable players.
I got the
U.S. and Japan going all the way, and then I think Japan will... I think they'll find a way. Otani didn't even play today, and they scored 9 runs in the 8th inning against Chetney, I think.
My problem with the U.S. is I think they've played a bunch of tomato cans. Like, that's my problem. Like, Mexico is probably the best they've played so far. They're playing Italy tonight.
Tonight.
Right? Nine. And, you know, it's right basically now. The Kansas City Royals. It's basically the Kansas City Royals. So, you know, Nolan McClain of the Mets is taking on the Kansas City Royals. So they're all hopped up on espresso, and, you know, good for you guys. Italy is very surprising. Absolutely. You know, last time they didn't post very well. But, you know, Mexico isn't as strong. It's a good team, but not as strong as it's been in the past. Brazil.
Italy's beating the United States now 3-0, by the
way. God damn it, Nolan. Why? You know what, D-Ro? I have a bone to pick with Mark DeRosa right now. My man had vertigo. He had symptoms of vertigo. He's like, that's all right. Take the bump.
Who's that?
Nolan McClain. That's why he was delayed to going to camp. He had vertigo symptoms. Yeah. Ah, shit. Like, you're telling me Clayton Kershaw couldn't do this? You're telling me? It's like, dude, you got enough left for a little
later. That would be unbelievable.
Come on. Like, I got enough left. I'm throwing every piece of junk I can figure out, Skipper.
That's all right. We'll get him next time.
Give me Vaughn.
Give me Rick Vaughn?
I mean, DR Venezuela, you expected. I'm surprised that Korea didn't do as well. They only finished at 500. They're only 2-2. Japan swept it all out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
U.S., they've been fine, but I would like to see what they do against stiffer competition. And clearly, apparently, Italy is that stiffer competition. And then Puerto Rico and Cuba.
Holy shit, we're winning. They have an espresso machine in the fucking dugout. It's great.
Let's go. Let's go. They have a lovely espresso machine. It's fantastic.
Who's there on their coaching guy? The coaching staff. Is it Cervelli and Posada?
Cervelli, Posada. I believe Dave Righetti is their pitching coach. Hey, it says all ex-Yankees.
I didn't even know Posada was Italian. I thought he was Spanish.
So he's not. So he's there because Francisco Cervelli asked him to be there.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah,
very
so it's like, hey, man, I was your backup. You were my mentor. Would you mind being the hitting coach?
Fuck off.
Rule number one, don't wear batting gloves. Rule number two, piss on your hands. Builds calluses. Gross. I don't know. I think that, I mean, obviously it's Japan, right? Obviously Japan is head and shoulders above everybody. But I'm surprised that Puerto Rico is playing as well as they are, considering the players they're missing. Because they are missing quite a few guys. And they're undefeated coming out of Pool A. So they're there. Could I see them possibly making a run to the finals? Yeah, why not? All of the top tier teams are there. Everybody that we expected to be there is there. And I think that it's kind of like the Olympics where pool play is gone. Now let's really see what we're fucking made of. Pitch count goes up. Let's go. You know, yeah. We're seeing that from Mexico and US with Randy Arozarena and Cal Raleigh. Like, they're teammates and they're getting into a beef because, you know, Cal Raleigh wouldn't shake Randy Arozarena's hand. It's like, fuck off. It's like, son of a bitch. I hope you rot in hell. It's like, bro.
Shit.
It's like, bro. Okay. Yeah. Like, when we get back to Seattle, we're brothers. Like, we're bros. So what are we doing here? What are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about? Fuck off, rotten hell. What? But, yeah, I'm rooting for Italy. Italy has never made it this far. They've never made it out of pool play. So I would like to see that. That would be a very interesting story. Like, nobody expected it. Just like nobody expected the four shutout innings from the Czechia pitcher against Japan. Now I hope. Here's what I hope for that guy. He's an electrician by trade. I hope he at least gets a minor league contract. He's 29. Mm-hmm. Dude just shut out Japan for four innings. You're telling me he's not worth a look in A-ball?
Nope.
Double A?
27.
Yeah. Nah. Worth a shot. It's worth a shot. If Joey Gallo can try and be a pitcher, then this guy deserves a look. Considering who he just carved up for four innings. I say, give my man a look. What's the worst that could happen? A non-roster invite. Pittance. Chump change. He can fix the wiring in your ballpark. He can work it off. Such is life. Old Glory offers over 300,000 items for music, sports, entertainment, and pop culture fans, featuring officially licensed merch from iconic bands and top sports teams. Discover your perfect fan gear and save with our exclusive discount at oldglory.com. Enter the promo code DNZ at oldglory.com and save 15% off any product. That's oldglory.com. Enter the promo code DNZ and start saving. Speaking of such is life, Jason Tatum returned on Sunday night for the Celtics, and he did not disappoint whatsoever. In 27 minutes, he had 20 points in the 109-98 win over the Cavs. So what did this win mean for the Celtics? And what did this loss mean for the Cavs?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were jumping on that Cavs bandwagon. Kind of gotta get Kristen back on the show.
Yeah.
I really don't... You know, I think hopefully that got shut down now. Spurs are playing the Celtics tonight. Third period, they're up by four. He didn't skip a beat, man. It's unbelievable how he's recovered. And his shot was fire, and he was explosive, and he was getting rebounds and shooting and scoring. I think it pretty much puts the Celtics, it catapults them, I think, ahead of the field as far as, like, you know, I think they're better than the Knicks this year, even though the Knicks have been one of the best defensive teams in the league since January. I put the Celtics ahead of the Knicks. I put the Celtics ahead of the Pistons, the way Tatum's playing. If you can have Tatum play like this and you can have Brown playing an MVP level, I just don't think there's a team that can really beat them in the East. And then it comes to, okay, I'm curious to see how they play against the Spurs. They're playing the Spurs pretty tight right now. So it could be like Spurs, Celtics in the finals. And can, you know, your experience in the finals help you beat a Spurs team that if Wemby stays healthy, they're just going to be in the finals every year?
Well, clearly he's on a pitch count because he's only playing 27 minutes a game so far. He's averaging 27.
That's a lot. Don't you think it's a lot for a guy that's just coming back from Achilles injury?
Yeah, but they're trying to ease him back into a full game.
But don't you think they would start with like just like 20 minutes or 15 minutes and 27, 29 minutes? The game is only 60 minutes long.
Yeah. So if that's the case, if you're going 20, you might as well go 29.
He's playing half the game.
Yeah, that's fine. They don't play three quarters of a game, and they don't play the full game.
I hurt my foot last week, but I couldn't play at all 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, he's in the prime of his career. He's only 28 years old. So there's something to be said about that. But there's a plan in place. Like, they're not rushing him out there for the full 48. Clearly, there's, you know, this is what load management is for, right? A guy who's coming off a major injury. And you know that old chestnut that Brian Cashman likes to run out there, like when they don't do anything at the trade deadline and the Yankees talk about all the guys that are coming off the IL, right? It's as good as a trade. It's as good as a trade. We got a healthy Luke Weaver.
That's what the Garrett Cole deal is going
to
be about.
We got a healthy Garrett Cole. We got a healthy Scott E. Frost. We're ready to go. We're primed and ready.
Who?
But that's what it is. You know, it's as good as making a trade. Like, he was not on your roster, and now you have a guy. Now there's a guy who's a friggin' stud, and he's back. Now, this is all preparation for the playoffs. All right?
Yeah, they're making their run. They're trying to get the one seed. You know, we're heading down the stretch now. It's March.
The issue with this is that the Knicks beat him with a mostly healthy Tatum, right? He went down at the end. So, sure. You know, the Knicks were winning that series regardless. So, I don't know.
And that's also a season where I'm pretty sure Boston dominated the Knicks during the regular season, but the Knicks came to play in the playoffs. I remember.
And under Mike Brown, as opposed to Tom Thibodeau, it's way more balanced. And they're still playing high level defense. So it's a matchup problem for the Celtics. But a healthy Brown, a healthy Tatum, a rested Tatum, that might be the recipe for success. That may be the secret sauce that they need to kind of get through the Knicks eventually. Because you figure if they're 1-2, they're not meeting until the Eastern Conference Finals. Right? If it stays the way it is. As far as the Cavs go, I mean, you have Harden, you have Mitchell, you still have, you know, questions about, you know, how well they can play together in the long run. In the short run, they're doing okay. But, you know, what's it going to look like later on? And I think it just reminds everybody that the Cavs are just on that, you know, that treadmill that we like to talk about. They're in fourth. They were in fourth last year. You know, they're in fourth and fifth. That's where they live right now. Because the Pistons shot up. The Celtics are still good. They're number two right now. The Knicks are currently number three. At one point, they were number one. But, you know, like, there's competition here. And the Cavs are just kind of like there. And it reestablishes the fact that they're just kind of there. And can they knock off the Raptors in the first round to 4-5? Yeah, absolutely. The Cavaliers would be the favorite in that series. I would say that they should beat the Raptors. But what's waiting for them on the other side? The Knicks? The Celtics? Like, you know? I don't think they can hang. I don't think the Cavs can hang with those teams. So, ultimately, this is a big deal for the Celtics. It's a reminder to the Cavs that, sorry, Sparky, this ain't your year.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style, featuring Hypercool J technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that can be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutpodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutdnz, and you could be next.
Joining us on the In Route today, we have the old ball coach. We've got Super Bowl champion and former Raiders T-roll head coach, Jim Herman. Thanks for coming on the show today.
I appreciate you having me here,
Coach.
All right. So we'll get you started with this. You played and then coached for 2 decades at Michigan Wolverines football under the legendary Bo Schembechler. What were the biggest lessons you took from Bo about leadership and building a winning culture that you still use today?
Like I said before, it's just, you know, life is tough. Nobody hands you anything. And whatever you get, you go and get yourself. And that was the way Bo was. It was tough. It was hard. We had a saying in our locker room: those who stay will be champions. And we had a lot of guys that quit. You know, they couldn't take it. They weren't good enough. They weren't tough enough. But the guys that stayed, we won. And he instilled that in all of us. I think the other thing that I love about Bo is, you know, Bo didn't care about statistics. He didn't care about all the hoopla and all the bullshit that goes outside of football. He just wanted to win. And to me, probably the biggest thing that was, look, you know, the closeness of the team, winning is everything. And that's what we came to do. If you fall short, you fail. And then you reflect and you go back again the next year and you do it again. You know, nobody can hand you anything in this world. And I guess those are the biggest things that I learned from.
Love it. Love it. So you coach some incredible go ahead.
Yeah, our children don't hear it enough. I mean, to be honest with you, it's our society's gotten soft. But to me, yes, it's about winning. It's about going out and beating the other guy.
Yeah.
And that's what he taught us and drilled into us, both as players and then when I started coaching for him. I saw a different side of him, you know, because when I stepped into the coaching ranks with him, I saw the other side of him where he actually deeply, deeply, deeply cared about every player that we didn't know as player. For every guy to do the best
make them the best player they can be. And I guess I'm very fortunate that I was able to see both sides of him. He pushed me as a player, and then he taught me as a coach how to care for players, how to push them, but also care for them. And very unique.
How gratifying was that you got to see both sides? Because a lot of people don't get to see both sides.
Or show.
Yeah.
He gratifying. Sure. I've been touched by a lot of great head coaches that I've worked for, and he was the first one. Always go back to what I've learned from him when I'm in situations with players, and I'm looking at a player, and you know, eventually in my head, okay, what would Bo say? Mm. What would Tom Coughlin say?
Mm.
You know, because those two are probably two of the greatest coaches that I've been around.
Wow. So you've coached some incredible players at Michigan, including Charles Woodson. You've also spoken very highly of Luke Kuechly as well. What made those two players special from a football IQ standpoint, and how quickly did you realize they were different from everybody else?
Well, Charles, you know, I got to know him when he was 14 or 15 years old. His head high school coach, Rex Radloff from Fremont Ross High School, he called me up, and I was in charge of running our football camp at Michigan. We'd have about 2,200 players every year for 1 week. And he called me up and said, Jim, he said, I got this freshman, you know, he's a player. I don't think he's ready for camp yet, but I want to bring him up so he gets a chance. Well, yeah, sure, bring him up, Rex. And on Wednesdays at camp, we would have what we called the smokehouse, which was we would invite all the top players at every position, and unbeknownst to them, we would run them in a 40-yard dash, and we would time them, and we would watch them, and we filmed it. And the defensive back came up. If you know anything about Charles, but Charles is probably the greatest running back in the nation his senior year.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. But
he was a freshman. He came up, and Rex asked me, said, hey, Jim, can he run with the DB? And I'm like, I said, these are all guys going to be seniors, you know, great players. He said, just let them run. No. I'm like, oh, you know, stick them in there, let them run. The gun goes off, and 4.3 seconds later, Charles crosses the finish line, and the other guys are about a second behind, and before second away. And, yeah, the finish line. I was down at the finish line. I put my arm around Charles and said, hey, let's go up and meet Coach Miller. And so my relationship with him started then. He was in my recruiting area. And his mother, Georgia, what a great woman. She's a great woman. All her children. She had a daughter that was ran at Tennessee, was a great Tennessee track athlete. She had another son, played at Miami of Ohio, and did Charles. And but she raised him right, you know. She was tough on him, and so I got to know Charles. He told me, I can't remember, his sophomore or his junior, probably his junior, he said, Coach, he said, everybody in the United States is recruiting me as a running back. He said,
I want to play corner. I'm like, okay. Rick Green, you as a corner. You know, don't tell anybody else. Between you, between you and I, you can play corner. We don't want you as a running back. We want you as a corner. He's like, okay, good. Everybody's recruiting me as a running back, and everybody thought I was fucking.
No, you can curse. It's okay.
No, you're good. We can curse. We're good.
Okay, okay. Thought I was fucking nuts. But, you know, he wanted to be a corner. And, you know, obviously, he was one of the greatest corners ever lived, you know, or ever played the game. And so it was very, it was great. I'll tell you what was really great is Gary Moeller was the head coach at the time. And I recruited a kid about 3 years earlier by the name of Ty Law out of Aliquippa, PA. And after Ty Law's sophomore year, Coach Moeller said, listen, I'll give anybody here $10,000 cash if they bring in another Ty Law. And the next year I brought in Charles Woodson. Unfortunately, Coach Moeller got fired. I never got my $10,000 cash.
Oh, man.
So, but I mean, you guys are probably the first two to ever hear that story.
That's awesome. But,
yeah.
That's crazy.
It would have been $10,000 cash. You know what I could have done back then? That was 1994. Who knows what that was worth back then?
Nice. Yeah. So with a guy like Justin Hunter in the NFL now, he tried to do play on both sides of the ball. If Charles Woodson, if he decided to do that, if he committed to it, Coach, do you think he could have been a two-way player?
No question. Charles Woodson would have been the best player on both sides of the ball. In my mind, now, when we did it with him, we did it more for as a distraction, as a confusion. I don't know if you watched the game, 1997. I think it was 1997. Charles went in at wide receiver. They got so fucked up. They fucked up the coverage. And Charles Woodson's free, going right down the middle. No one covering him. And I saw Nick Saban on the sideline. He's just like, what the fuck?
That's great. And,
but, you know, if back then we were to do that, I'm sure we would have practiced differently. We would have done different things. But he would have been the best player on both sides of the ball. There's no question in my mind. Because he was such a great athlete. I mean, he could do it all. You could have put him back there at running back. And in today's football, you could use him as a, you know, the running or not run and shoot, but the, you know, quarterback stuff that they do now, the options.
Right.
You know, his abilities were different than everyone else. I mean, you're talking about a 6'2", you know, 210-pound man.
Yeah.
Who could run and could hit. And wasn't afraid to do
right.
it.
Right, wasn't afraid to tackle. Yeah. Well, right.
And he was playing corner, he was playing receiver.
Returning kicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, so the NFL Combine just passed, and you've evaluated numerous players over the years. When it comes to evaluating linebackers, what are the skills and techniques that separates a good linebacker from a great linebacker?
That's a great question. I think the biggest thing is, the first thing that I would look at when I looked at a player before I watched any film is the length of his arms.
You know, if he was 31 or less, I was very skeptical. Because they can't, the way offensive linemen are allowed to play today, if you don't have the reach, you can't keep them off of. And short arm guys, they can't play because he's just going to get held and they're never going to get off on a block and so on and so forth. Now, there are a few exceptions, but by and large, percentage-wise, you got a short arm linebacker and you're a linebacker coach, you're going to get fired because the guy's not going to play.
Yeah.
He's not going to be effective. So they have to have some length to them. The other thing I looked at was what I call shock and shed. You know, did they have the ability to shock a blocker? You know,
pop
and great separation and get off and go. You know, it's not natural because it's, you know, you got to hit somebody.
Right.
You got to be willing to hit somebody and you gotta enjoy it. But you could see it on film. You could watch it on film. You could just, they have the natural ability and wham! And you see the offensive lineman, the half a second where he gets popped and shocked and then all of a sudden the guy's gone. You know, to me, those guys survive in the NFL longer than anyone else. The intelligence part of it, I relied on the combine a lot, especially the guys that we invited to our individual meetings. So all three teams that I was part of, the Jets, the Giants, and the Colts, we would have individual meetings with players, and the position coach was required to run the interview. You know, some guys ask them to get on the board, some guys ask them to talk and all that bullshit, but I would, for every player that I interviewed, I would put together a 25 play video, and I'd go through every game. I'd go through all 12, 13 games, and I would try to find clips where they're on the field and they're making adjustments and they were actually verbally sending out signals and changing shit. I take plays where they had great plays, and I would take plays where they looked like shit and intermix them. I wanted to listen to them individually talk about each play. And when they got to the shit plays, it was very interesting because the great ones, they fucking knew the fucking play as soon as it came on. And they were pissed. They were fucking pissed. And you could see the intensity of the moment. Where it ate at them. And then there were guys that fucking didn't remember the play, couldn't give a care less, and didn't say a fucking thing and let the film go. And to me, the great ones that I've coached, they were all pissed. And they all cared and they all knew and they all, it stung them to their core to talk about those plays. And to me, I learned a lot about the guy, what that guy had, what he possessed, what he didn't possess. It was shocking. Now, you know, sometimes the owner, the GM, the head coach, the the other fucking people that are involved, they didn't fucking see that. You right. know? Be like, guys, he's telling you he's a turd. He's a turd.
He's telling you he doesn't care about football. He's not. It's not number one to him.
The guy, and we still drafted him with the sixth pick of the draft. But that's why the Jets will never win.
Yeah, yeah. Were you pushing for Mayo in that draft? Was there another guy that you like? Who? Were you pushing for Gerard Mayo in that draft? Was there another player that you liked? Do you remember?
At the Jets?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the year we drafted Vernon Golston? Yeah, yeah. Was Mayo in that draft?
Yeah, he went five picks later.
I think the pick before us, Howie Long's son got picked.
Mm-hmm.
I was all for Howie Longson. I love that kid. And then after that, to be honest with you, Gerard, if I can go back and look at my
notes,
my sheets, but I think I had him in the second round.
Really? Wow!
Wow!
Yeah, because he was short. If I remember. I'm not sure what his arm length was, but I'd have to go back and look at my sheets. But I didn't have him as a sixth pick.
Gotcha.
In the draft. I didn't have Vernon either as a sixth pick in the draft, but I can't remember the guy's name. He was the GM at the time. He's on a podcast. He's on.
Oh, was that Mr. T?
It's Mr. T. Huh? It's Mr. T.
Is it Mr. T, right? Tannenbaum? Yeah.
Mike and I went to Columbus to work him out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you guys don't understand is Vernon's head football coach played with me at Michigan.
Oh, wow.
He played for the Dallas Cowboys. So Vernon commits to Ohio State. I'm at Michigan. I call my boy up and said, what the fuck? He says, you don't want that turd. I had to beg him to come out and leave the band. God. Like, okay. That's good. So I tell this to
Mr. T.
Mike T. And then we go to Columbus. Jim Trussell's sitting there, you cheating little fucking bastard, with his V-neck fucking collar on, and I put Vernon run. You know, he does all the running. I mean, measurable wise, he's out of this world. I put him on the board. This guy drew a formation that had 20 guys on the field. Like, Vernon, there's 22 guys. 22 players, Vernon. Couldn't do it. We get done with the interview. I walk out, and Mike Tannenbaum's like, God damn, wasn't that great?
I need a drink.
But anyway.
Yeah, you had in that draft.
Now you know why the Jets will never win.
So Vernon went six, but then you had Gerard Mayo go 10th. Then you had, you know, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, number 16. Aqib Talib, number 20. Those were just the, you know, the defensive guys that were pretty good in that draft. Mike Jenkins went 25.
How many games did Vernon play?
I think he played in...
How many tackles did Vernon have?
Yeah, it's on the low side.
You think?
So he had 42 solo tackles in his 3-year career.
Did he have more reps on the bench press than he did games played? Is that what it was?
Yeah. Gee.
Total workout warrior.
Yeah.
Well, you have to find the weight room.
Check out part 2 of our interview with Coach Jim Herman later this week.
step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout-out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, Deke?
I don't.
That would be your boy, Jerickson Profar. You schmuck. You schmuck.
Tell me it's a different substance. At least give me that much. Please tell me it's something fucking different, asshole.
162 games. This close to being Henry Mejia as the only guy to get banned from baseball for performance-enhancing substances. Oh, Jerickson, you stupid, stupid...
You foolish boy.
You son of a bitch. God damn. All right, but that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week?
All right, so first up, I've got the New York Jets, 2013. They drafted Geno Smith in the second round for the next 8 years. And then in 2017, they let him go and labeled him a bust. In the 8 years he was gone, there's only one player that has won more games at quarterback than Geno Smith. This Jeez. Guy went on to win the... He went on to be comeback player of the year in 2022, go to two Pro Bowls, and now you want him back. The Raiders were ready to cut him. You cut a deal to trade for him and bring him back home.
What the
fuck? Where it all started. The Raiders was gonna be like, is this a dare? Is this a joke? Are you really willing to trade us somebody for someone we're about to cut? All right, I guess so. Like, is this a crank call? What a joke. New York Jets, you are my legendary stars of the week. Number two, Atlanta Falcons. So Tua was cut by the Dolphins. And somehow Atlanta viewed this as an opportunity. They're going to cut Kirk Cousins if they haven't already. They already have Michael Penix on their roster, who has a torn ACL, I believe, and he's recovering from. And now Tua Tagovailoa is going to be your quarterback next season. In my Dr. Evil voice, right. Okay. And number three, it's kind of a sad one, but it's true, and it's Hunter Green. It's the Reds' ace. He's being shut down with bone chips in his elbow. He won't play again until July. I don't know if that's going to be enough time for them to get back in it or compete at a high level this season. Hunter Green, you are my legend superstar. Unique, what do you got, T?
And I'll just preemptively say, welcome back to Seattle, Eugenio Suarez. So I am going to start with Cruzeiro and Atletico Mineiro in the state championship final in Brazil. Have you seen this?
Negative.
So 23 red cards issued in this soccer match after an all-out brawl takes place after a late challenge against the keeper. And then the keeper turns around and just knees the dude in the head. So it went from soccer to the UFC. It was amazing. It was so violent that Men in Blazer had to issue a content warning, warning people about the violence that they were about to see. Cruzeiro, Atletico Mineiro, you are my alleged superstars of the week. Number two, Derek Jones and Yaya Boa. two players who just received lifetime bans from MLS for gambling. Awesome. Good job, guys. And Yeboah was just terminated from his contract with LAFC to go sign with a Chinese league team. So, kind of sounds like he knew this was coming. You, sir. Yeah, I know. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to get out of here before they kick me out. Fuck you. You can't fire me. I quit. How about that? Yeah. Right. You can't ban me if I ban myself. Jesus Christ. Derek Jones and Yao Yeboah, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Logan Paul. Yes. That of the Paul brothers, that of the WWE, calling out football players for boxing matches. I don't know if I would do that if I were you, saying that, you know, they wouldn't be able to hang with you. One Mr. Brandon Jacobs, formerly of the New York Giants, who trains in boxing, mind you, came out and said, I accept that fight. Hmm. So not only would he accept the fight, but so would Frank Gore Sr., who trains in boxing, and so would Le'Veon Bell, who also trains in boxing. So all of these running backs, who apparently are boxers, agreed to fight Logan Paul, or were interested to fight Logan Paul. And then all of a sudden, he's backtracking. Oh, you're lucky that my employer, you're lucky that WWE has called me back onto the road, because I would kick all your asses. So, hold me back. Bart Scott likes to call those wolf tickets. Yeah, 100% total wolf tickets. That dude's full of shit. Logan Paul, you are my alleged superstar of the week, and an honorable mention to the New York Rangers. Guys are back. Congratulations. You didn't trade Vincent Trocheck at the trade deadline. And then you get wrecked by the Devils 6-3. Jack Hughes with a fucking hat trick. Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm. Thanks for showing up. Well done. Well fucking done. Yeah. This rebuild is going to go so well. So fucking well. New York Rangers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account. At FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.